I'm Brian McCreath at Symphony Hall with Mark Anthony Turnage, whose Remembering is on the program for the Boston Symphony this week, a BSO co-commission. Thanks for a little bit of your time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure.
So this piece is a BSO co-commission along with, I think it was the LSO, the London Symphony,
and the Berlin Philharmonic.
But tell me about the genesis of it. I know thematically you are remembering a young friend of yours, yet when it came to actually writing the piece, was this something that you wanted to write, or was it in response to the request for a piece?
It wasn't a request. Sadly, these days, particularly these days, I often am ending up writing memorials, because as you get older, your friends. But in this case, Evan Schofield, who's the son of the great guitarist John Schofield, jazz guitarist who I had worked with quite a lot. His son died at age 26, and this is really tragic. And it's hard, because when somebody like that young dies, it's hard to know how to respond, and your own grief is, you're dealing with that. But I always find that one way of dealing with it for me is to be creative. My teacher Oliver Nutton died very recently. I was very, very close friends, studied with him from the age of 16 and a half. And I've written a piece in memory of him, and I put everything into that, and it helped me. And in the case of Evan, I wrote this little piano piece just after he died, which forms the last movement of Remembering. So that was the first thing I wrote, and that was quite a short piano piece, but I expanded it and then wanted to write a bigger piece. I talked to Susan Schofield, Evan's mum, and obviously John Schofield, and just said, you know, I want to do this. And they responded very positively. So that's the genesis. So the other movements, in a sense, are much more lively. They're not sort of memorial-like, but they are still for Evan. I found out a very funny anecdote that happened with Evan, that Susan said to me during the performances with the LSO, which is the premiere with Simon Rattle in January last year, that Evan, who was a really sweet guy, never really argued with anybody, but the most problem he had with somebody was with a violinist, and the fact that this piece doesn't have any violins and it's just violas. She said, "How did you know? How did you know this?" Which I thought was very amusing.
That's terrific. I love that. And I want to ask you about that decision. But before we do that, you start with this little elegy that you wrote in direct response to Evan's passing.
Yeah.
But how did you then decide on what needed to come before that? I mean, it's this little germ of a thing, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's not giving it enough credit. But anyway, you had to figure out what's going to lead to that point that really brings the most effectiveness out of that elegy, and what else can you say with those other movements? How did you kind of formulate all of that?
Well, I suppose I did think of it symphonically. I mean, I've been always avoiding writing a symphony because I always thought it was sort of pretentious, and also because I love particularly Beethoven. I grew up with symphonies. I thought, I can't really write, I don't think I'm ever going to write a piece just called symphony. But in a sense, I'd written a few pieces fairly recently that were in four movements. So, although it's not the traditional form of four movement symphony, it has an elements of that. And also I knew we wanted to do something that was very substantial. So you had all this sort of big moments and you know, also fast music, because I knew the last movement was going to be very elegiac and quite longish but slow. I needed to do a lot of things that sort of like earned that slower lyrical music. So that's why there's a big scherzo. The scherzo originally, which is the third movement, was originally twice as long, and it didn't work. And I remember putting it aside for 6 months and then coming back to it and cutting it, and it worked. I'd spent ages. I couldn't get it to work. And then, strangely, I went back to it and fixed it within an hour and a half. That's what happens quite often when you leave things alone and just reflect on them.
That's a part of the creative process, I imagine, that things happen in your brain when you don't even know it's happening. You come back, and now the answer's clear. One of the answers that you arrived at is to, as we said, to exclude violins, or not exclude, let's just say not use them. It's nothing personal.
No.
But that is such an unusual choice. And I just wonder, again, getting back to the sort of creative process, first, what were you looking for? Well, and second, did that limitation maybe open possibilities you didn't even know you'd have?
Yeah, to be honest, it wasn't my idea. It was Simon Rattle's idea, who originally commissioned me for the LSO and for Berlin Phil. And he said, I want you to write a piece which doesn't, you know, which hasn't got any violins. And I really found it hard. And I, in fact, a few times I requested and got in touch with him and said, can I have them back in? Please, can I have the violins back in? And he said no. And the whole idea that is something he said to me years ago when I worked with him, because I worked with Simon at the CBSO, which is ironically where, funny enough, where Andreas Nelson's worked as well. So there's a big Birmingham Birmingham connection, Birmingham, England, I should say. And he always said to me that my viola writing at that point when I first worked with him wasn't very adventurous. It was quite conservative. And he talked about Nielsen being... very, especially the later symphonies, the viola writings really in the symphonies are really, it's really adventurous. So I he was always been encouraging me to write more adventurous of viola. So one way of doing it is it does make you make them more like the violin section. So you do push them higher in terms of tessitura, but you also push, you know, you and so it gives it. But what it does give you, and of course the only other pieces I can that I know of that has that is the Brahms Serenade, which is violin. So of course there's other pieces, but they have choir, like for instance Symphony of Psalms by Stravinsky also has no violas, as far as I'm, am I right about that?
I think that's right.
Yeah, it is right. So I'm going back. There are a couple of pieces, but so it was a challenge for me, and I think it's good to give composers a challenge and say, you know, this will push you to go in a different direction, which it does. It's a darker piece in that way, because the viola section leads.
Right. Now, in terms of the overall scope of the piece, even those individual movements, how much for you was this? We talked about the trajectory leading towards that last piece and how you formulated that. How are you trying to reflect the character of the person that you're remembering? Is that something you're trying to bring out, some character element that that allows us to know that person?
I don't know. I think it's more about, for me, it's more about dealing with certain things. There are certain elements of, well, I mentioned certain things about Evan. He was a very individual person. He was very creative, used to write and stuff. I don't think it's a portrait in the way, for instance, the Elgar's Enigma variations are portraits of people.
Coming up on the second half.
That's too sort of obvious in a way. I think it's less programmatic than that. I mean, it's funny that there are certain things that I didn't even know about Evan, that his mother then said it was funny that there was, and he also had a thing about sort of, the other thing that's interesting is, and I was slightly aware of this, is he was very interested in Eastern instruments, you know, sort of drums and stuff and bells, and they're actually in the piece. And I think I was sort of aware of it, but it was, you know, again, Susan said, oh, it's amazing how that's been incorporated in the piece. So there are things like, you know, but it's not, I couldn't say this is him. This is, you know, I think I wouldn't be. I think that's a bit pushing it too much.
Yeah, got it. Okay. And now, in terms of this piece in your very large catalog of music, let's just say that there's going to be some people hearing this piece and they haven't heard music by Mark Anthony Turnage before. How do you think this piece stands with those others? Is it very different from other music you've written, or does it have a lot in common with, in general, the other music that you've written?
Well, I think there's a jazzy element which is still there. I think there's a clarity maybe in, particularly in the last movement, which there isn't in other pieces. So I think that you know, I always think about certain contemporary music, it puts people off a little bit. I think people wouldn't be put off by the last movement because it's almost... it's almost tonal. I mean, it has, yeah, I think it is tonal. It's more modal, I would say, which is another term for it. But I think that there's all those elements there. There's a jazz element, and it's quite different from maybe some of my earlier pieces. That I wrote this piece called Three Screaming Poets, which I think Boston's done, but certainly Simon Rattle did, and I think that's there's an element of sort of extrovert rhythmic drive which is there, but there's the lyricism that is much more sort of what's the word, heart on sleeve type of lyricism, which I haven't done so much of.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just one last thing, you mentioned that the LSO did this first. That was in January of 2017. Yeah. In the intervening months, have you heard things that you feel like you've wanted to tweak, and have you made changes to it? Or composers are always doing this. So where are you with the definitive version of
Remember? We did it in Berlin in June after January, and I did change a few things, but nothing major. But I had this great advantage that the LSO did a run through. about, I think it was like maybe 3 months before the premiere. So in a way, I had an advantage because I did fix quite a few things then. So I don't, I only tamper with things up to a point, and then you know, because you could drive yourself mad by keeping fiddling with it.
No doubt. Well, it's I personally just love the piece. I think it's so effective, and both the beginning energy and the ending meditation is just a fantastic trajectory. So thanks for the piece, and thanks for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Brian. Thank you.